Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Coming up Saturday here on 105.1 The Fan, home of the Ducks. Oregon will take on Indiana, top 10 matchup. And here is the coach, Dan Lanning, joining us for his weekly visit. Coach, can you hear us?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Doing great.
Well, we didn't get to talk to you last week because of the bye. How did you get to celebrate the Penn State win?
Was more work. it was a good week. We went to practice last week, got some recovery in, and then we're able to get on the road recruiting towards the end of the week, go see some high school games. And Saturday, I got to watch a little college football, which is fun.
Is there something to the bye week? Just, I don't know if early in the season, is it more physical, or was it good to maybe have an emotional break? Because that Penn State game for everyone seemed like such an emotional high.
Yeah, probably a combination of both after a game like that, travel like that, all those things kind of add up. We went across country, get to go play in a game. It's a tough environment at that point in the season. You're five games in, guys are feeling a certain type of way, and it probably really helps them from a recovery standpoint. Also just a great chance to take a look at your team and say, okay, what have we done in the first 5 weeks that we need to evaluate?
You said that was the best game that you had been a part of. What was it about that in particular that made that one special?
Yeah, it was just an emotional roller coaster. And, our guys never, budging, right? Handling big moments and did a really good job of, I don't know, I just felt like our guys put it all on the line. And when you guys put it all on the line and you come out with a win, that's obviously a great result.
Yeah, some intense moments there. And I thought about you, like, overtime, fourth down calls. How often are you on the headset when you're listening in on the headset and they're called, Will's on there and deciding what you're going to do in critical moments? How often do you chime in or even just lay out and think to yourself? Let me rephrase it. How often do you listen in and you're actually not fully on board with what they're doing?
Very rarely. No, we make, I have the call sheet in front of me right now. Like, I've got the opportunity to look at that stuff. I always think it's smart to make decisions on Thursday, Friday, Wednesday during the week. And then when you get there to Saturday, you're not disappointed with the result. And there's a lot of times in those moments, I'm making sure that the look that we wanted is the look that we get. And if we don't, you can always bang a timeout or take a delay a game if you're not crazy about the look and live to play another play. But, generally for us, we're all on the same page. I think that's, part of my job as a coach is to make sure that we all know exactly what we're expecting.
Right. So, and you've said that often that you always script things out. So on that fourth and one, in overtime, you're down seven. You got to get it. That play you had already known, as long as the look is there, you already all kind of knew what you were going to run there.
Yeah. That's one that, and we're lucky we carried a few more short yardage plays in that game than we had done in the past, and it kind of paid out. You anticipate being in some situations like that, and you kind of start to go through your Rolodex of what you really like throughout the week, and showed up, and we felt good about it in that moment.
You can't say enough good things about your quarterback, but in those moments when he's making some of those plays and avoiding a D end and different arm angles, I mean, he's good, but what does that do confidence-wise for the team, for you guys, when you see him feet to the fire and he comes through like that?
Yeah, we have a player that solves a lot of problems on the field. And when you have a guy like Dante that you see do that in practice all the time, you already have a high level of confidence. But to do it, when the bullets are flying in a game like that is pretty special.
This is Oregon coach Dan Lanning with us here on The Fan. So Indiana, you talk about a team with a clear identity. Can you just describe their identity on both sides of the ball and what they do?
Yeah, I'd say they're aggressive on both sides, you know, looking to create explosive plays on offense. They do a great job of running the ball. I think sometimes people think of them as a pass-first team. You know, they're rushing for well over 200 yards a game, have really dynamic receivers on defense. They're very good at disguising their looks. They change the picture a lot for the quarterback, create a lot of confusion, and bring it from just about everywhere. So it's a really, you know, fundamentally sound group that does a lot. And then they're aggressive in special teams. They've had four block punts this season, which has got to be number one in the nation. So I think that just speaks to just kind of the brand of football that they play.
Yeah, I love I love seeing how the game has evolved. And, you know, when I played, this wasn't as much of a thing. I love watching some of the simulated pressures, and Indiana does a really, really good job of that. When you're, as a defensive coordinator, and when you're trying to fight that as an offense, how do you deal with simulated pressures when your eyes tell you one thing, but you know, is it almost like you kind of just have to take your best guess or film study? How do you deal with teams that do such a good job of presenting one thing and then snap of the ball, it's usually not?
Yeah, I mean, that it's just that. And usually most teams have a compliment that is that, right? So you have to play back and forth, let your eyes tell you the picture, and then do a good job of guys early in the week, what, you know, what's going to make us redirect, what's going to make us change where our eyes go, based on how people drop and what they do. So this is one of the better teams when it comes to that, and they do a really good job. You kind of got to prepare for both. Then ask yourself as a coach, what's a good answer? What's a good play that can be executed against both the defenses that might be presented?
It was interesting that you guys played Mendoza. He was the quarterback at Cal a couple years ago. Have you seen changes in his game since the last time you saw him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's benefiting from some great coaching, and he's playing a lot better as a player. He's gotten better as a player. You see the guy delivers the ball in pressure. There's some plays that he throws, unbelievable throws in that Iowa game, where he's getting hit, and he's got good guys that he's throwing to and a really good scheme that he's operating in. So he's certainly gotten better as a player, and the people around him have gotten better.
And here at Indiana, what makes him so effective?
Well, I mean, a lot of this system is based on quarterback making great decisions, right? Is the box heavy? Is the box light? Do you have free access throws? He's a guy that makes the right decision pretty consistently. And the ability to stand in the pocket and deliver a good throw when people are bringing pressure, he handles that really well and does a great job with that.
Yeah, they run so many RPOs that year. They run PROs, pass run options. Does this have a little kind of like an Urban Meyer Florida feel when you watch this offense?
Well, I mean, it certainly it comes from some of that tree. I mean, there's pieces of that definitely show up.
Dan Lanning with us here on 105.1 The Fan. What are you listening to today? Last time it was Steely Dan,
yeah.
I think.
Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do we have today?
Yeah. I don't remember what I was really listening to. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've had the radio on the last few times I've been on the phone some. Yeah, I really don't know.
Do you ever listen to podcasts?
Sometimes, every once in a while. I wouldn't say very often, no.
When you do listen?
Usually music.
Yeah, usually. When you do listen to a pod, what do you listen to?
You ever heard of Revisionist History?
Yeah.
Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah.
I'm a big Malcolm Gladwell fan. I like those. You know, Bustin' with the Boys sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a big podcast guy.
Yeah. What did you watch when you sat down to watch college football last week? What did you get to watch?
From beginning to end. Yeah, I watched it all. So,
fans.
I had a couple TVs rolling. Woke up, watched game day. Just went through the cycle from beginning to end.
When you watch, it was a great, like, that afternoon stretch. Like, it was like Alabama and Vandy and Texas. There was like a 6-game stretch there that was awesome. When you watch that, can you watch as a fan, and are there teams that you're like, oh, I love what they do, or are you always kind of in a coach mode where you can't shut your brain off and watch it as a fan?
No, I can certainly watch it as a fan. I'd say what's hard, you're obviously evaluating what you see a little bit, but you're just hoping for good games. You know, I remember when I first looked at it, I was like, oh man, there aren't a lot of great games that turned out to be some phenomenal games on last weekend, which made it a lot of fun.
And do you follow like what Kenny Dillingham's doing down or any of the guys you with George and Bam, yeah, you have those ties?
You're always cheering for guys that you worked with, for sure. And always fun to be able to see them have success.
Now, a key question here. Are you aware of or know who Judge Judy is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know who that is.
Okay, good. Good. Well, we were just talking about, apparently Jim Harbaugh loves Judge Judy, and we were talking about
I found
you.
That fascinating.
Yeah, like why, but you were coming on with, I don't know if Dan Lanning would even know who she is, but apparently you do. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I feel like she used to be on TV after school when I'd get home, maybe back in middle school or high school. She's been on the air for a while now, right? How long has she been going?
Oh, my God.
She makes $47 million a year.
Yeah, like 40 years.
Really?
30 years.
She's like one of the highest paid TV people ever.
She's amazing.
Is it really that high?
Yeah, 47 mil. She owns the production company.
She owns the whole thing. Yeah.
Coach, you got to get out of coaching and get into syndication. Like, do that little, like,
I guess I had no idea Judge Judy was killing it. That's awesome.
Well, like, all these little, like, the viral clips that you guys do, the little, you know, the vignettes and, like, the videos, that guy does a phenomenal job. You got to get out of coaching and just syndicate that stuff. Just become a production company. That's where the money is.
There you go.
Wouldn't have much of a story to tell anymore if I wasn't coaching.
Oh, that's so. Yeah. I guess that's true.
Who is the? Let's give you a moment to name some people who are the talent behind some of those videos. Like that, some of the stuff you guys put out
really good.
Is really good, and I think it really helps you guys. I know you've said that before in recruiting, but who are some of the people behind that?
Yeah, Scott Anderson really spearheads that for us, and he's got great help. You know, with Steve Pohl there in that office, and several of the guys that he has around him that have just absolutely killed it. I mean, they're creative. When they do a video, it seems like the next video is even more impressive. Not just, you know, the message, but also the way they piece it together. So they've really cornered the market, and I think are doing some cutting edge stuff in that department.
It was really good, and it was so cool seeing everyone's reaction on the field and what a celebration was. So I got to ask, when you get down on the field, you were emotional. How long does it take you to go to bed? Like, I'm guessing you can't. That's like being a rock star. You can't just go off stage and then fall asleep. What is the night like when you leave that and you shower and you're getting on a plane? When do you get to have the adrenaline dump and actually go to bed?
Yeah, interesting enough, we landed back here in Eugene sometime shortly after 5 a.m. And, yeah, I came in and just started watching SportsCenter to get caught up on what else, you know, happened that day. So I was probably a couple hours and then laid down for a couple hours and went back to work. So quick turnaround.
Do you use sleep aids?
Not usually. Yeah, not usually.
Okay. I'm guessing sometimes. You're not much of a. I'm guessing sleep is a choice for you.
I mean, I like to try to fall asleep. So, but I don't like. We don't have necessarily any sleep aids in the house. I'm trying to think. Like last time that I went and took what's the like. Dimetap or something like
melatonin
that.
Melatonin like or, you know.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I guess NyQuil, right? Like, I don't have a sore throat, but sometimes you can take some NyQuil and that help you fall asleep.
Yeah, that'll knock you out.
Yeah. That's the first thing. If I feel any sort of illness coming on, I'm right to the NyQuil, and I just like to hibernate through it. It's the best thing you can do.
So how many hours of sleep do you get on average?
I mean, it just depends on the day of the week. You know, tonight I'll get 8 hours, 7-8 hours. I would like to think, you know, but early in the week, you're not getting that much. Yeah. You're getting, you know, a little bit closer to 4 and, try to make up for it at the end.
Yeah. All right. Well, great talking to you again. Good luck against Indiana. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Coach.
Sounds good. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right. You too. That is Oregon coach Dan Lanning here with us on 105.1 The Fan every Thursday at 4. Brought to you by Philbrook Law. When it comes to your case, Philbrook Law is rooted in substance, not flash. For more information, visit philbrook-law.com. Philbrook Law, your local law team. Okay. Well, I guess we have to do the Dan Lanning postgame show next.
Yeah. Wrap it up.
A lot to discuss there.
There is a lot to chew on,
you know,
including being aware of Judge Judy, but also shocked. I believe he was generally shocked at the 47.
Yeah,
million.
He was. But I tell you what, we got to give Jordan Schultz credit. Yeah. He called that because they're about the same age.
Growing
and he
up.
Said growing up after school, Judge Judy was
dispensing justice.
What did you watch after school when you
when I was a kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was the Disney afternoon kid.
Oh, okay.
Like I would come home and there was a block. It was like DuckTales, like. Darkwing Duck, Rescue Rangers. There was like a block of cartoons.
What about later? What about a little older? Because I'm thinking of like We had like Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, there's some Gilligan.
Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah. Like a Nickit. That's like a, like the
Dukes of Hazzard.
I would say like if I was a little bit older, like, but those weren't on when I came home from school.
They weren't?
No, like that was like,
so you're a little younger than me.
Well, I'm coming home from school like Knight Rider. I remember watching Knight Rider, but that was Friday night, like
yeah,
prime
7
time.
7 o'clock, bro.
Dude, that's
like Dallas time.
Yeah, that's go time, man.
Remember Dallas, that show?
Yeah, little JR.
Great theme song.
I want to say, honestly, like after school, even as I got a little bit older into my teen, I think it was mostly like cartoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was doing some noodling. It was bothering me. You were asking like what I watched as I got a little older, and I was like, there had to be something. And I do,
well, particularly what you watched after school.
And I remember two things, actually three. I remember watching Saved by the Bell and Wings on like TBS or TNT. I forget which one. They always had back to back episodes of Wings. That was the old. It was like a sitcom with about like Sandpiper Air, like a small little airfield, like out in like New Hampshire, and then Saved by the Bell. And I was also, MTV was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like coming home and watching like Total Request Live or just like music videos.
TRL, baby.
I remember plopping my ass down and watching MTV.
Yeah, I did that too. Yeah. I had an MTV phase for sure. But yeah, I guess that was probably later.
Yeah, that was later. When I was a kid, it was a big cartoon thing. And I was like, as I got older, there had to be something. I was like, oh yeah. And that even, by the way, carried into college, where I remember watching Wings and Saved by the Bell just because it was on. You're like, oh, this is on. Watch this.
Wings made Tony Shalhoub's career, I thought, right?
Yeah.
Who? Tony Shalhoub.
That went on to play Monk.
Tony Shalhoub. You know who he is.
Yeah,
I got a Google image of him, huh?
Yeah, you'll see him. Monk was his big starring vehicle. Yeah. But yeah, he got his start Yeah, he got started in Wings. And I remember
isn't that the soup Nazi?
No.
Totally different guy.
No. Okay.
I guess they look alike.
They had a guy on there named Roy Biggins, which I always liked his character on there.
Yeah. Good show.
All right, well, we had Dan Lanning on moments ago if you missed it. No, you can go back and listen.
Yeah.
It's okay. We have a podcast and
available
for
download.
YouTube video clips and all that stuff.
Oh, the podcast will be up in seconds, I promise you.
But I wanted to play a little of Kurt Cignetti, too. I was listening in on his preview of Oregon, his press conference.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, he's interesting because he's a red ass.
Oh, yeah.
Of epic proportions. Mm-hmm. But he kind of, he's a good disguiser of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you'll get that in this clip, but I watched his whole thing and he's intense.
You think?
He is intense.
I win, Google me.
But at least he's kind of like Brian Kelly intense, but nicer to people about it.
He's not killing people in scissors lifts.
But he's also kind of passively aggressive, he is also kind of passive aggressive in his dismissal of questions.
Okay.
But he's polite enough. So he's weird.
Yeah.
And you don't get much from him. He doesn't give you a whole lot at all. But I wanted to play, it's about a minute 12 of him talking about Oregon.
All right, goodbye week. Got rested up, got practice in, kept the fundamentals and timing sharp. And now it's 100% focus on Oregon. Great opponent, great team, a lot of great players. Extremely well coached. Big, fast, athletic, physical, depth. Coach Lanning done a tremendous job recruiting, development, retention. He probably one of the most impressive young coaching phenoms to come around in a while, I would say. Haven't been in this game for a little bit. They're a great football team. Looking forward to the challenge, confidence in our team.
All right.
Isn't Zach? Yeah, Kurt, I mean, you mentioned their depth. Is it a step above? I mean, you talked about Oregon being kind of one of the teams with a little bit of resources back in April. Is that kind of a direct result of that, where you see just their depth is a step above maybe the rest of the Big Ten?
Well, I don't know what their resources are. You know, all I know is they got a lot of good players.
So there was a question in there. I don't know if you guys heard it, but
something about resources.
Well, the question was, because Cignetti was the one who came out during the offseason and said, you know, we know the teams who are spending $40 million, you know, and he named them.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't name Oregon in there, but
maybe he knew they were on the schedule. Yeah. He was like, just shut up.
Well, he did. So the guy asked them, he said, when you were talking about resources over the offseason, is this what you're talking about, seeing a team like this?
Yeah.
And he punted big time. He's like, I ain't going.
There, no.
I saw what happened to Mike Gundy. I ain't saying S. Yes. I don't know their resources. Good football team.
I do appreciate.
Smart guy.
Well, that was like the Northwestern coach did the same thing. I think that was a lesson of keep my name out your mouth when they played Oklahoma State. Because the Northwestern guy, oh, no, it's nothing but. Yeah, don't poke the bear. Don't. But it is true. Anytime you're playing one of those 10 schools that spends what they spend, you're up against it. It's not an even playing field. And this game reminds me a lot of, and we were talking about it yesterday, this reminds me a lot of when Oregon played LSU back in the day with Chip Kelly. You have a very well-coached team with some NFL guys lacking depth that's really buttoned up, and they overcome some deficits with scheme. And then you're playing an LSU team that is also buttoned up but just has better players. That's Indiana. Indiana has an NFL quarterback. They have two NFL receivers. They probably have the best DB in this game. They have an NFL D-end, NFL defense tackle, NFL linebacker. And then there's a giant drop-off. Like, they've got six or seven guys that would play and play a lot and start at Oregon. And then after that, it's not so much. And so this comes down to, like, any time you play an Ohio State or you play a team like Oregon or whatever, you're going to have a talent gap. And so can Cignetti go on the road and overcome that talent gap with coaching? Because that's what this will be if they find a way to do it. And last year, when Indiana played teams that were just physically better than they were, and that was Notre Dame and Ohio State, they came out and got punched in the mouth. And that's what Indiana does, and I stop short of asking Lanning, but it's when you get a defense that does as many multiple things that Indiana does and simulated pressures and they rotate their safeties a lot, the easiest way to stop any of that is to just run it down their throat. Because when you're doing all kinds of shifting and presenting looks and moving around on defense, if a team's running the ball for 6 yards of carry on you, like Notre Dame and Ohio State did, you will stop doing it, and you have to just line up and play defense. So my guess is that Oregon is just going to cram it down their throat and try to make Indiana prove that physically they can hold up. And then the other side of things, Indiana has not been good when blitzed. These last 2 years, even this year, when you put pressure with the blitz, they struggle. But Oregon doesn't blitz. They haven't had to. So that's, and I know he won't answer that question, but I would love to know what their plan is to heat up Mendoza. Do they send pressure? Or are they like, no, this is what we do, and we're confident that our front four can get enough pressure, and we'll play coverage behind it. It's a nice cat and mouse game.
So here's what Cignetti said in April. He said, there are five or six programs out there that have unlimited NIL resources. It's kind of scary for everybody else. Our little pot of gold at Indiana is pretty nice, but we're not at $40 million or $30 million or even $25
million. Yeah.
If you want to be the best, you've got to be able to compete against the best. Right now, I understand that is Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Texas Tech because of their oil money. I think Notre Dame's up there pretty good right there too. Miami, of course. That's what he said in April.
Yeah.
So he did mention Oregon.
Yeah. And by the way, there's nothing untrue about what he said. It just, I think there's a difference between saying it in the offseason and saying it the week before you're getting ready to play or making excuses.
Yeah.
And believe me, and when bringing that up, old Kurt was wise to just be like, yep.
I don't know.
No, what are you doing?
I don't know their resources. How would I know that?
He was very curmudgeon-y.
Well, he is. I don't know if you've ever heard him. He just is that.
He's intense.
Well, and it's funny. It took him a while to land. He was at like Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and then Elon, and then James Madison. You know, he's not a young guy. Like he mentioned Lanning being a phenom. Lanning's what, 37? Dude, Cignetti, he's 64, and he's just now getting a crack. You would think, and he has been successful everywhere he's gone. You know, it's kind of crazy that it took him this long. He was, what, 62 when he got that job in Indiana, which is not a great job. And this is why I say to anyone, Oregon State or UCLA, stop trying to grab scraps. Stop trying to hold on to the past.
Shut up.
Go find the guy at James Madison. Go find the guy at Elon. Go find the guy that when you watch his offenses or defenses, you're like, geez, I know that's not like a high level, but this is problematic and they're really well coached. And let's see what he can do with more resources. And granted, if he is rocking and rolling in Indiana, he'll be gone in 2 years. Although maybe his age, maybe they can keep him, but he'll go somewhere else. But he has changed Indiana football in the span of 1 year, all because they took a shot on someone at James Madison.
It's weird that Indiana's good.
I know, right?
Just odd.
It seems unnatural.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Stanford got good.
Yeah.
You know?
What? Stanford. And they were good for decade plus. Vanderbilt being good right now kind of throws me for a loop a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Vandy.
Yeah. That's college football now, though. Yeah.
Tech's all right. Georgia Tech.
You can be good anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. Texas Tech's good.
Yeah. Well, we know why that. I mean, that's the definition of we've got $100 million, so. And that is the thing. You said it yesterday, right? It just, if you've got money, you can change your fate in this world.
You're seeing more parity.
Yes.
And it's because of that. Yes. I mean, you know, you mentioned Missouri's good.
Yep.
Those are the schools that are rising up. They're able to compete better now.
Yes. I do believe that this has opened more. It's harder than ever to win a national title because you have to go through all these good teams in the playoff, but it's opening the door and you can't stockpile players. And I do think it's giving teams that aren't traditional blue bloods, maybe not every year, you're going to get those same teams because there's going to be ebb and flows, but you are offering an opportunity to Texas Tech and Indiana and Boise State and schools like this. You're giving them an opportunity every now and then to get a shot at the prize. And so this idea that the NIL and the playoff was going to shrink that pool, I disagree. I still think it's going to be those same teams that are ultimately winning the majority of these, but it's creating more opportunities than it is taking them away.
All right, we got to move on to In the News, where I will have the very latest on Keith Wilson. Is that his name? Is that
our feelers? A fearless leader, yes.
Yeah, Keith Wilson. Yeah.
That is his name.
Yeah, I was thinking his first name was something. I don't know.
No. Like Ted, the old one? Keith.
Against Christy Gnome. Gnome.
Yeah.
War of words.
Duking it out.
They're battling it out. That's next. But first, here's Schultz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have reached that time. Some people's favorite Seggy.
Oh, I love it. I need my news.
It is October 9, 2025. It is time for In the News. I am your noted and humble newsman. Thank you.
Very humble, sir.
You mean a lot to me. Please be seated. And all rise. And now be seated.
Very Judge Judy-esque of you.
Got my doily on. Brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is International Beer and Pizza Day.
Oh, well, who doesn't love beer and or pizza?
Me. I love pizza and wine.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of, like, if I'm having, like, Ken's artisan pizza, then yeah, but if I'm, you know, I'm dealing with some Domino's, yeah, give me
you
a...
You like beer with pizza?
Yeah, give me a banquet.
That's too much,
You're doing great. Yeasty?
Yeah, it's just too much.
Too filling. Too many
filling things.
Too much, yeah. It's like too much bread. You're having a cup of bread, and then you're having pizza with bread.
It's what light beers are for, gentlemen.
Hey, you guys already know. The champagne of beers for me, baby.
It is also National Moldy Cheese Day.
Oh, sticky cheese is great.
I love blue cheese. Gorgonzola.
Goes well with everything.
Blue cheese is amazing.
It is.
And it's like it's the thing that should be the least amazing that is amazing.
I mean, it's literally rotten cheese, and yet it's...
But it's delicious.
It's fantastic.
Who figured that out?
I've said this many times. Whoever was the first to try all these weird things, I mean, all alcohol is just fermented, rotting things, and someone figured out, hey, it tastes pretty good and gets us effed up. I'm fascinated how that came to be.
Well, we've been fermenting things for tens of thousands
of years. Yes, but someone figured it out.
The blue cheese or like Gorgonzola, that's been around since like early Roman times, at least from what I've read. Like, that's actually some of the oldest cheese there is.
Noted cheese expert, Jordan Schultz.
I love cheese.
Man always has a little...
He's always got a little nugget, doesn't he?
Always.
Well, Christy Noem is back in her homeland.
She's gone back to the tree.
She has left war-torn Portland. And she had a cabinet meeting today where she said that the United States government is now looking to purchase additional facility space in Portland to move the ICE building.
God.
And Keith Wilson, that tracks because Keith Wilson came out and said they are talking about perhaps taking over the lease of that building.
Okay.
The city would just take over the building. And they'd move somewhere else, which I don't know how that solves any problems.
Yeah, what is it? We just move move the 30 people that are pissy about this. We just move it to a different part of the city. Great plan, everybody.
Up to the industrial district or something? What the hell?
I was walking to a concert last night. Me and my buddy, we always park at the Hyatt. Schultz dropped me off at the Hyatt. And then we walk over to
Schultz driving Uber.
Yeah.
Love it.
Nice little... Schultz's a Volvo man.
Nice. Yeah, I love a good Volvo. Yeah, the XC... Nice. What is it? The XC90 looks like a nice little car.
That's the biggest one. We have the XC40, which is the tiny one, but it's still a nice little ride.
Yeah, nice ride.
Appreciate you. Me and Schultze, we had a taster's choice moment. And so we were walking to a concert from the Hyatt. It's like a mile. It's right there. And there were a couple gals that were walking, and they were like, are you guys going to the concert? And we're like, yeah. They're like, well, can you...
What was the show?
Sleep Token. And they were like, where is it? And we're like, the... big giant right there, and they were like, oh. And then we were like, yeah. So we started walking, and then like a half a block later, like, hey, can we walk with you? And we were like, yeah. And they're like, well, I don't know, we don't know the city. And they were from out of town, and they thought that like that there were like bad things were happening in the city, and they were like, we didn't want to walk alone. We're like, yeah, you're fine. You're fine. And then as we walked, they were like, this is like downtown. We're like, yeah. Like they literally believed that like there were fires and like riots going on in the middle.
That's what the news is showing, depending on which news you watch.
And I was just like, after we walked like just a few blocks, I was like, you're fine. And they were like, oh yeah. And then they split off.
Better hope they don't get stabbed by a homeless guy.
I just love that these two people were like, can we walk? There's an overpass there. I'm like, yeah, you're going to be fine, but...
Well, Noem called local leadership lying and disingenuous, dishonest people, she said. As soon as you leave the room, then they make the exact opposite response. So we're looking at new facilities to purchase there in Portland, too, and we're going to double down. I told them if they didn't meet our demands for safety and security on the streets and work with us, then we're going to bring in more federal law enforcement.
This is literally the dumbest thing ever.
She wants a large buffer zone.
What a buffer zone.
You saw how South Park just owned Christy Noem earlier in the season, right?
Yeah, but it's...
Well, what she wants is, I think they want to move it and then create a zone, like a huge area where people can't
I love that we're literally like building fortified barracks in our city.
Right.
You know, I love this freedom that we're all experiencing.
Yes. Yeah, free speech.
Jeez.
Sounds similar to like a homeless like fix that doesn't work. Just saying.
I just got this idea too that they want some big gothic thing and there's like a moat and like an electric fence right in the heart of every like major city.
Are they going to throw gators at us?
Oh God. It's just the look on people's faces when they actually, you know, it's like the one dude that always texts in is like, there's fentanyl and tents on every city block. Have you been downtown? No, there's not. Is it perfect? No. But can we stop with the narrative that you can't walk anywhere in our city or that every block? Those are the two ladies like that were like, they're like, this isn't that bad. I'm like, no, there's some rappers. It's a city. It happens. There's some trash. Yes, occasionally you will see someone that's homeless. Welcome to the idea of living in a city. It's
we also have the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco held a hearing this morning to decide whether or not the governments can deploy more National Guard troops in Portland, you know, because they've been blocked by the court. So that's gone to appeals court, and they have heard the arguments, but no decision as of yet. Well, the three-judge panel.
And they act, these absolute disingenuous jackwagons, they act as if bringing in troops makes anyone sick. All it does is they stand in front of a federal building. Like, it's one thing if you're saying, okay, we want to make sure that the federal building is safe as if someone's trying to burn that down. But can we stop acting like bringing those troops in make anyone in the city safer? That's not even in the city. It's one block on the South Waterfront. You're not making it. You're not stopping crime. Like, what are you doing? You're bringing in a series of Batman that roam the streets at night? My God. Can we have like an ounce of honesty in this whole thing?
I don't know what you're talking about. I heard her call Keith Wilson dishonest.
Let's just say both of them are dishonest, okay?
Well, I don't know. I mean, is Portland being dishonest? I think we're the only ones trying to say, hey, it's not. There's nothing really going on here.
I guess about this, Wilson's on point. About this.
Again, are things perfect? No. Are sending 300 troops to stand in front of one block in a building going to make anything better? No. Anything?
Well, the ICE protests, what I think is fascinating about this whole thing is the ICE protests are one thing.
Yeah.
And they're very mild.
Yes.
I think they just get bored down there and every once in a while throw punches, but probably just because they're bored. And there's like 30 people there.
Pretty much. And a guy in a chicken suit and the dinosaur guy who's having a moment.
I mean, if they really were paying attention, that's not the problem. The problem is the homeless population.
Yeah.
And drugs.
And the like, National Guard doesn't address that.
They don't even talk about that.
No.
Like, that's more, that's scarier to me than
yes.
this.
Whatever money you're spending on the National Guard, get mental health. Round some people up and let's do some detox. Do something with that. Because this ain't changing anything. This doesn't make the city better or safer. And it just, it drives me freak. This may be the thing that gets me more angry than anything else. Because it solves no problems.
Maybe you should write your congressman or woman.
It's just...
see what they say.
Our heads are so far up our ass. It's unbelievable.
Coming up next. It was a wild girls' night in Vancouver.
Right.
Recently.
Ow!
Yeah. It involved a babysitting job and a dead.
Oh.
We'll get to that story when we return here on In the News on The Fan.
All right, this is In the News for October 9, 2025. I was telling you that it got wild for a girls' night in Vancouver recently.
Nothing happens after midnight in Vancouver, not when the ladies are involved.
Yeah, what kind of girls' night are we talking about here?
Well, I'll read you the deets. A judge has set bail at $200,000 for a 17-year-old girl accused of strangling a woman to death.
Yikes.
Karma Douglas of Vancouver is the 17-year-old. She'll be arraigned Friday. Court records identify the victim as 44-year-old Chantel Trotter. According to an affidavit of probable cause, Trotter, the victim, was having a girls' night with two of her friends at her home in Northeast Portland.
Okay.
Trotter needed cleaning supplies and called her son's girlfriend to bring her some. However, when the girlfriend arrived, along with Douglas and another friend, she didn't have cleaning supplies with her. Douglas stayed behind while the girlfriend and the other friend left to go buy supplies. Are you following?
Kind of, sort of.
So like, she is, the killer is a friend of the victim's victim's son's girlfriend.
So the lady who died wanted cleaning supplies.
Yep, and she called.
She called the son's girlfriend.
The
son's girlfriend to bring cleaning supplies.
She came over. The girlfriend then leaves with the other friend to go get the cleaning supplies, and Douglas, the friend of the girlfriend, stays behind. She's 17 years old.
Can I also say that immediately I've got like 90 red flags that have already been raised here?
Well, there are more. Just wait.
There's more to this story than cleaning supplies, but
an argument. Well, she was trying to clean for her girls' night. So here, just hold on.
All right.
So an argument erupted between Trotter and Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
A witness told deputies they heard Trotter yell at Douglas to leave before they began exchanging blows. Mm.
As one does over cleaning supplies.
The witness reported seeing Douglas grab Trotter by her throat and squeeze while pinning Trotter against the wall as she became pale. Another witness attempted to call 911 from inside the house but said Douglas began punching her.
Well, did she stop strangling, or was she strangling and punching?
Upon arrival, they found Trotter, who was not breathing. They attempted life-saving measures, but she was pronounced dead at the scene. She choked her to death.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's where it gets weirder. Deputies later found Douglas at a home down the street where authorities said she was babysitting.
So after she killed her, she left to go back
babysit. And there was blood on her clothes as she was babysitting.
Wow.
Yeah, Wow is right. According to Major Crimes Unit detectives, the girl did appear to be under the influence of intoxicants and was uncooperative with law enforcement. She was taken to a local hospital for evaluation.
Yeah.
So how about that?
I don't believe this was over cleaning supplies.
Yeah.
I would just
it
like
doesn't
to,
seem it.
I would like to state that Something's for the record. Up. Well, I'm looking. I'm trying to be fair to everyone, but I'm looking. I'm just looking at the photos and the video of everyone involved. There's a certain hard slant here that that you can ride.
And what would that be, sir?
Let's just say this is not the nicest part of Vancouver, and they don't really seem like this is between like an attorney and maybe a nice school teacher. I'm guessing that cleaning supplies might be code for meth. Mm. That would be. If this story, I think this story, if this was taking place in Longview, you'd be like, yeah, that's about right.
Can I ask another question that's
go for it.
Related to this?
Yeah.
How hard is it to kill someone by choking them when they're fighting back?
It depends.
She's 17 years old.
It doesn't take long to render someone unconscious, and then once they're unconscious, then if you keep strangling, then it's not.
But I thought it would took some effort, right? Like, there's...
No, you can actually make someone... I mean, if you know what you're doing, but she didn't... I mean, I don't know. Once someone goes unconscious, then you're you know, it's quite easy. But there's...
I think that's wild that she was able to just...
While fighting... And that's the thing, while fighting someone else off...
A 17-year-old girl is able to strangle and kill a 44-year-old in a... That seems fit. There's another red flag.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she could have been old. I mean, like, you can be...
Well, she was 44.
I'm saying you can be,
younger
like...
Younger than you.
I mean, was she, like, diabetic? Was she, like, frail? Who knows? But I'm telling you,
So it's bath salts, man.
I know. I'm looking at the everyone involved here, and it's, you know, it's got a real West Virginia sort of vibe to it, and it's tragic. But, again, so you're babysitting. Why would a lady with having a girls' night... Be like, you know what we really need right now? Cleaning supplies. I got an idea. Instead of going to get it or send one of my girls, I'm going to call my son's girlfriend. And then she shows up without cleaning supplies. And then they start arguing over what... No, this is... Yeah. Cleaning supplies is code for meth. I'm convinced. But you can't tell the cops that you were being told to bring meth. Although at this point, it doesn't matter because you're going to jail for murder.
Yeah, the other weird thing that they don't really connect the dots in here is she had a babysitting job, like, right down the street.
Right down the road.
And she just has blood on her clothes and just shows up and caring for the little kids? What?
Jeez Louise. Yeah, I'm just kind of reading through stuff, and it's just, you know, it's insane. It's a bad part of town with some people that got probably some issues, and unfortunately, someone has tragically lost their life.
You better get out of war-torn Vancouver. Come down to war-torn Portland.
I feel much safer in downtown Portland than I do. Did it say, by the way, what part of Vancouver?
Yeah, it's something I'd never heard of. It's called...
I got an idea. Are we in the alphabet district?
How do you pronounce that?
I don't know.
Minnehaha.
Yes. That sounds about
Yeah, that's
right.
Where they are.
Remember I've told the story about how there
is
used
it, what
to
is
be...
What is it?
Minnehaha.
That's Mini? North Vancouver, right?
Mini.
Remember I told you that the longest time there was that hotel in Vancouver that was $29?
Yeah.
And it was the number one place that police were called to? Guess where that's at?
Minnehaha?
That's Minnehaha. Just saying. This did not take place in Lake Oswego or Cascade Park or Fisher's Landing. No.
Nope, it was Minnie.
Quote over cleaning supplies. Yeah. Right. Still just at that. What a brutal way.
Not good.
To die. You get choked to death by your.
Well, we got to learn to de-escalate, kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Probably not that important.
It's not good.
October 9, 2025, that is in the news, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. We have a little under-the-radar Blazers news, what Bill Belichick did on his bye week, and we'll talk about Paul Feinbaum running for Senate next hour.
Why not?
Yeah, goes hand-in-hand with today's broadcast. We'll do all of that coming up here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.